On this 2nd of June, June Dairy Month, let's find out if Jason Cans is drinking a lot of milk. Good morning.
Good morning. I have not had any milk yet today.
Okay. Are you a milk drinker still?
Sometimes.
All right. Yeah, sometimes.
I tend to go in streaks with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Michael's become a... I don't know. You're kind of low audio today. I don't know what the deal is. I've got you completely cranked up on this particular channel, so I can't do any more on my end. But...
Do you want me to scream?
Well... Probably not. So your word of the year is Jubilee, and I'm seeing the news coverage of Jubilee kicks off with trooping the color parade, but this is for the Queen.
Yes. I didn't realize it was going to be the Queen's Jubilee year when I decided that for my own word of the year, but
yeah,
certainly a nice segue there.
Boy, you know, I think I picked the word peace a long time ago, but I can't say I even think about it every day. So it's kind of, it feels more like a symbolic thing.
Yeah. And it has not felt like a particularly peaceful year.
No. That's true.
Although I can't say that it's necessarily felt like a particularly jubilant year either.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, for me, it's so often kind of waiting to see what it looks like as we get to the end of the year. You know, for me, it's the middle of the year is often so off point in terms of the word of the year that I choose, and then it seems to come together near the end. So
we'll
see if that happens again this year. Yeah.
I've got so many different things that I could talk to you about before we go to Matthew. I think it's 5:05, but
yeah.
Let me see. Did I, what I shared on Facebook? I think I did share it. So I guess we could start there, which is a quote from Tim Keller really struck me yesterday that I thought we all need to take to heart and say, dear Lord, please let that not apply to me. Here's what he said. He said, the church is filled with self-righteous, angry, harsh people because they give lip service to the idea that they're saved by Christ, but the functional operating system of their hearts is that God loves them because of their purity of life and doctrine. And he said, see Lovelace dynamics. Did that strike you like it struck me?
Yeah, you know, I think that it's, we can, as I think he even used that word, lip service there. You know, we can say that we believe one thing, but how we actually act is something different altogether. You know, that we come to the belief that God loves us because of something we do, or right belief, or we can fill in the blank with a lot of different things, rather than saying that God loves us because God is love and he loves us as his image bearers.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go to somebody, I'm going to cite John MacArthur, who's talked about the fact because that, you know, people, we have all these movements in the church over this gift or that gift, but it's important. 1 Corinthians 13, which we've worked through recently here in our best 5 minutes of the day, it's between the chapters on the gifts, like the greatest is love, right? It's greater than all the gifts. It's the greatest.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's the driving force behind all of the gifts as well, is we're motivated by love.
Yeah. So anyhow, I just think it's important. The greatest is love. I mean, we didn't come up with that. That's not fresh. That's not new. But I was struck by that, and it reminded me of Keller's book, Prodigal God, where he powerfully says that so often the watching world experiences the church as the self-righteous older brother rather than that love, that father who runs after the son who took a third of the inheritance.
Yeah. Brilliant book, again, for people who are... That's one of my multiple reads, you know, where I've read it more than once.
No, that is excellent.
Because it's so good.
There you go. Well, one out of the three things I had in mind to talk to you, we covered that one. But, okay, Matthew 5:5, from the Sermon on the Mount, what's the third Beatitude?
Sure, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Uh-huh. And in Letters to the Beloved, Jason's devotional commentary, he tackles that this way. My son's kingdom is upside down. Worldly powers and dynamic leaders want you to believe you can only become successful by acquisition, control, and looking out for yourself. Not so. Those who possess a humble, gentle spirit are the people of real influence. When you engage others with gentleness, you make them feel loved and welcomed, and what an inheritance that is. Anything you want to clarify there?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I necessarily clarify, but I think just even to highlight, you know, the idea, as we look around, there's so much clamoring for power. There's so much clamoring for influence. And, you know, we seek after power. And that's not unique to just the culture, but even within the church. And Jesus is saying, you know what, let's move towards humility. I love that phrase, upside down kingdom, which comes from a guy named Donald Craybill, you know, where it functions in 180 degrees from what we expect by watching the world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. I know also, as we close, I think the book that was published posthumously of Dallas Willard, The Allure of Gentleness, you've read that.
So good. Mm-hmm. You know, as many of Dallas Willard's books are, but mm-hmm. You know, I think the idea is, you know, as Christians, we want to be people of influence, and I understand that. And but our influence doesn't come in seeking after power, but in loving with gentleness and humility.
Well, I found there's a couple of different songs with gentle. It's interesting. It's not a real common word in too many songs, but we found Gentle Revolution from Scott Crepane. Jason, thanks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Perfect.
Jason from jasoncans.com.
Well, Memorial Day weekend, usually called the unofficial start mm-hmm. of summer. And yep. You know what? Summer's on its way. We're going to have our parking lot picnics coming up actually 3 weeks from today is the first one.
Really?
And favorite summer foods, they may not be universal, but a lot of these we're really going to enjoy eating over the next few months. So here's some fun facts that you may not know about some of our favorite summer foods. For instance...
Can I take the first one? Because I don't really like the second one.
Okay.
So, corn on the cob. Did you know that corn is the largest crop in the United States?
I did not know that, but I'm a lot more interested that you don't like watermelon.
Yeah, I just,
really?
I don't know. I'm just not a big, it's like, I don't know. I'm sorry.
Huh, no reason to apologize. We learn something new about one another all the time. I had no idea you didn't like watermelon. There goes my birthday present idea for you.
Yeah, right.
No, okay, so fun facts about watermelon. They originally came from the Kalahari Desert region in Africa, not the Kalahari in the Dells. The average watermelon, 92% water.
There you go.
So what do you have against water,
it's
Mark?
It's just too much water. I don't know. It's the seeds. I don't know what it is.
It's
another
seedless.
Favorite summer food is peaches. Yes, the U.S. is the fifth largest producers of peaches and nectarines behind China, Spain, Italy, Greece, and Turkey.
And fun fact, a lot of great peaches, of course, come from Georgia, mm-hmm. and the Tree Ripe Fruit Company truck is coming soon, stops throughout the area. In fact, I think the first one is in my hometown of Rice Lake, Ladysmith area, Spooner and Hayward, on the 16th of June. So a little fun fact for you, the freshest, best peaches you can get.
Worth waiting in line for, right?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. They're incredible. Very large peaches, too. Fun facts about summer favorite foods, strawberries. The strawberry is actually a member of the rose family.
Mm.
I had no idea.
I did not know that. Without the thorns, right? Another favorite summer drink is lemonade. President Rutherford B. Hayes's wife, Lucy Hayes, not Lucy from the Charlie Brown, but Lucy Hayes was called Lemonade Lucy. They loved alliteration even back then because she was a staunch advocate of the temperance movement and would not serve strong drinks at the White House.
Huh, good for her. Barbecue, the word barbecue comes from the Arawak word barbacoa, meaning frame of sticks. I thought barbacoa was just what I ordered at Chipotle.
Hey, broadcast tip of the hat to you. You handled Arawak and barbacoa real well there.
Thank you.
Another favorite summer food has to be ice cream. Mm. I passed on watermelon and I got ice cream. One of the world's most popular desserts, ice cream, most likely created in China around 2000 BC.
Wow, and now they create everything else for us. And tomatoes, up until the mid-19th century, many cultures thought the tomato was poisonous. I guess we found out that it's not, and it goes really well on a Culver's Deluxe.
So we've got Ron Ely played Tarzan on TV, and it's his birthday today, and he's 84. And early this morning before 7, Caleb, I played a Tarzan yell from Ron, and it was something like this. Now, that's an interesting way to wake up, right?
Yeah, sure. We should probably start the show with it every day.
Yeah, probably. But we hear from Cliff in Spooner. He's one of our active listeners, and he's messaging me privately on Facebook this morning and say, hey, Hal, well, I remember watching that on Channel 18 in Milwaukee, too, but he's like, He says his favorite Tarzan is Johnny Weissmuller, the Olympic swimmer who went on to play Tarzan. So he was the earlier rendition.
Oh, the OG and, Tarzan.
All right. So I don't know. I found this Johnny Weissmuller Tarzan yell. Here we go. I agree. It's a little stronger.
It does seem a little stronger.
It does seem strong. But you know what? The Ron Ely yell was like, it's like on a... the top of a waterfall.
Yeah.
I mean, so it was out there, whereas this was clearly on the set. So anyhow, I'm going to give Ron, on his birthday, a little bit of an excuse.
And I'm just going to say I like the new animated Tarzan with a Phil Collins soundtrack. So that's where my generation comes in.
That sounds good. Well, chivalry's not dead, apparently, Caleb.
It is not, but perhaps there are some things that, especially talking to the fellas here, things that we could do more often to help keep chivalry alive and well.
Yeah, so some good reminders here.
So, again, this is from a female writer. She claims that these 10 acts of chivalry are the absolute favorites among the fairer gender. She says, you know what? Women still love these acts of chivalry. Let's go through them, shall we?
Yeah. First one, holding the door. I like to hold the door. I think it's a good honoring thing. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Do it. And, you know, I love seeing when my son, he's 7 years old, when he holds the door too. And again, ladies or gentlemen, but I appreciate when he does that and learns it early. Chivalrous acts. Calling when he says he will call. Seems pretty simple, but again, maybe you're in a dating relationship. If you say you're going to call, call.
Be a man of your word. Also, another act of chivalry, avoiding games. Don't beat around the bush.
All right. Yeah, step up. Be a man. Chivalrous acts for, again, especially the men and the young men to learn. Meeting her family and friends.
All right. Very good. Also, another thing, small public gestures of affection. So, again, this as the relationship is further along, grab her hand on the street, maybe, as you're walking across a busy street, something like that.
Something like that. How about making sure that she gets home okay? Little chivalrous acts, but just, hey, just making sure that you got home safely.
My dad always taught me when you're dropping a girl off, you know, drop her off, make sure she gets in.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Don't absolutely.
Drive away.
Yeah, don't just peel away.
Right? I know it's 9:30 at night. You drop her off at the street. You're like, hey, good luck. No, not that. Also, offering a jacket. You know, if it's a little bit cold, maybe, you know, she's got a short sleeve shirt on. It gets a little colder. Give her your long sleeve shirt, whatever.
10 chivalrous acts that would still be good to put into practice today. How about go and get the car when it's raining?
Oh, yeah. And then also, I think with that, dropping her or others off, and then you go park it, and then you got to walk in the rain.
Yeah, sure.
Been there, done that. All right. How about stepping in during awkward situations?
That does seem very chivalrous, too.
That can increasingly happen in parenting, actually.
Yes.
But anyhow.
And again, a final one, acts of chivalry, caring about your opinions. So he cares about your opinions and he shows respect. So not only this, when we're saying, again, to the men, but especially the young men, as you're growing up and looking, God willing, for your future spouse, things to put into practice, but also for the young ladies, too. Look for a young man who treats you this way, who treats you with chivalry and respect, who loves and cherishes you. Again, you're a daughter of the king. You should be treated that way.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about, yeah, that's interesting. I think it can go the other way, too. I'm thinking of the Isaac and Rebecca story, right? And when the servant was sent, you know, to look for this, and it all worked out in terms of who the spouse for Isaac was going to be. All right, so family TV viewing. I mean, we live in the streaming age, no question, right? I mean, so and it's really amazing. So many different ways, and you can choose to watch shows, and you can binge watch if you want. And so, well, that's interesting. Like my daughter Grace, who's away now, she's just like, oh, wow, your definition, you just don't get what binge watching really is. Thank you. But anyhow, it's like I acknowledged to you recently that we were watching The Lincoln Lawyer. So I was away last night. And then when I came home last time, what are you guys watching? And they're like, well, and I'm like, that's Lincoln Lawyer.
And initially you're probably feeling some at least small sense of betrayal where it's like, right. I thought we were watching this together. But of the thousands and thousands of other options, could there not have been something else chosen while I was away?
I think they knew it was obvious of recognizing that. And I was just like, and we were already collectively 8 episodes in, and they only have the first season posted, and there's only 10 episodes. So I knew at that particular point, I think the answer, what are you watching? I think the answer may have been, well, we're going to watch it with you too.
just watch it double. Right, but it was, right. You know, hey, we want to watch it right now. Okay.
So I did see the end of episode 10. There is some sense. And I thought, well, I asked a question or two to kind of. So anyhow, that's just, you know, family viewing.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the tough thing, too. I mean, what is the etiquette? Because if it's something you're watching together with family members, yeah. it. Do they need to wait always for right. you, or is it okay to, again, watch it separately right. and then watch it again with you as long as mm-hmm. there's no spoilers? Is that an acceptable part of it? And I would say that some households might say, hey, depending on our schedules, that's the way it works. We'll watch it together when we can. But, you know, we want to know what's going on.
Right.
I mean, that's what good TV does, right? And hopefully what good radio does, it just keeps you hanging on, keeps you watching or listening a little bit longer. But, again, there is that sense with family viewing, when you're watching something together, at least when you start mm-hmm. A TV show together, that you're supposed to wait. And, yeah. and I had this yesterday because I mentioned that we watched Kenobi, the first two episodes mm-hmm. of Kenobi, the mm-hmm. new Star Wars show on Disney Plus, and I didn't realize that it was going to release on Wednesdays. I thought it was every Friday.
Okay.
And so I told my kids, I said, hey, I just got a notification. There's a new episode of Kenobi after we just watched yeah. number two. The night before, hey, there's another one here. And my son, Cooper, who's 7 and knows the ins and outs of the TV
yeah.
and the smart TV and the remote and everything better than anyone else in the household, he kind of, he never really gets upset, but he was like, Dad, you watched it without me. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, I see the blue line, you know, that shows the progress.
Right.
And he said, you watched some of it without me. And I'm like, I got really defensive. I said, I have no idea what that is, buddy. Like, I didn't watch it without you. I just found out now that there actually is an episode. He's like, somebody watched it without me. Well, it wasn't me.
There
it
you
wasn't
go.
Me. But again, there's just that sense of feeling like we started this together.
Right.
We need to finish it together.
There is that. I got to say, my wife had a tough day yesterday. And so, hey, if she wanted to get ahead with Elena watching it, understood.
And as long as you're watching it together at some point.
Yes. And they said, hey, we'll walk it through with you. It was very good. There we go. Look out for Cooper, though. He's ready to blow that whistle on
yeah,
you there.
I know. He'll know.
A sharp kid.
Well, we've heard that there's a worker shortage, mm-hmm. right? And, man, we're even looking to hire here, too. I'd love to talk to you if you're looking for an exciting job and would like to join the family here at WWIB. But, again, everywhere you go, hours are being reduced and places we were at the zoo, at the Como Zoo, and one of their cafeterias is closed during the week now, only open on weekends because they don't have enough people.
Well, Did you see my friend the polar bear, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
Polar bears were one of the highlights. And then we saw the Sparky show as well, too, the seals and sea lions.
Oh, always fun.
So there are two companies,
mm-hmm.
Havo, or municipalities at least. One is Council Bluffs, Iowa. The other is Chick-fil-A that are trying to find ways around the shortage of workers.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with Council Bluffs, Iowa. So I know this area because my grandparents live not too far away in Harlan, Iowa, southwestern corner of the state.
Your dad grew up there, though.
Yeah. And in Council Bluffs, they have new workers to help clean up the city's landscaping. They say, hey, we need this done, but we can't find enough people to do it. So they've hired goats. In fact, a herd of 55 goats.
Wow.
The Omaha World Herald reports that the goats started working last week, cleaning 4 acres of land under Interstate 480 along the Missouri River in Council Bluffs. They're expected to be on the job until early next month. And you know what? You pay them not in dollars, but in hay and vegetation. Experts say goats can eat up to 4 pounds of that every single day.
And again, with such a need for workers, you've got to think outside the box. And so hats off to them for doing what they need to.
Thinking outside the pen, I guess,
yes.
and hiring some goats. Not uh-huh. a bad idea.
What's Chick-fil-A doing?
Chick-fil-A, and again, what does the company that serves the Lord's Chicken do when it wants to get you your Chick-fil-A delivery and doesn't want to worry about it not getting there on time or a driver eating it or one of those delivery services charging 30% on every single order? Well, they build robots. Chick-fil-A is beginning to test autonomous delivery robots. The company says it will begin practice deliveries at some locations in California, Florida, and Texas. The robots have artificial intelligence and advanced cameras that let them navigate traffic, pedestrians, bikes, and more. I want to know, though, can they say my pleasure?
I think they can teach them to do that.
They can only travel about 15 miles per hour, and during the first test, they'll be accompanied by human, quote, safety chasers. How would you like for that to be your summer job? Is you get to follow a robot and make sure it doesn't go rogue.
We just just want a Chick-fil-A here in the Chippewa Valley. That's
yes.
all.
I mean, I'm just trying to calculate now where's the closest Chick-fil-A, probably Hudson or the mm-hmm. cities. If this robot can travel 15 miles per hour, how soon could it get the Lord's chicken to my doorstep?
It'd take a few hours still. Oh, Hudson, less than an hour away. Well, I want to bring for you this morning, you and I, both big Stephen Curtis Chapman fans.
Yes.
He is back, I think, with Provident Music now, and he debuted a new song. We had it yesterday to start the 6 o'clock hour. Here he is as we work our way toward 9, Stephen Curtis, his new one called Still on WIB.
The sky was clear, Kentucky blue. He led me high up the mountain to show me the view. He said, wherever this journey takes you, just trust me, I'm already there. I had no way of knowing then just how hard the rain would fall and how fierce would be the wind. It's been beautiful and terrible, more painful, more wonderful than I ever could have known. But even so, still, I'm gonna sing about the one. I'm still a mess, and I've still got a heart with doubts and fears pounding in my chest. And I've wrestled, then I've rested, and I've trusted, then I've tested God's patience like a foolish man. But when I surrender once again, and I call like a little child, reaching up my hands, he lifts me every time, and he tells me he loves me. I'm gonna sing about